Well, how many would say there's a whole lot going on in this world? My goodness gracious. First of all, I just want to say blessings to all of you. I'm so glad you're all here. And in light of what is going on, Dee, my glasses are right on the edge of my bag there on one of those ends. Thank you. But, you know, if you've ever studied revival, you would understand that whenever a nation is real prosperous like America has been, and we have been so full of prosperity and blessing in our nation, and, you know, able to take care of those that are needy and give them assistance and give away food. And, you know, even our little ones go to school in the mornings. And you don't have to be needy. I mean, they just give every kid a breakfast if they want it. They'll say, "No, Mom, I don't want that. I'm going to have breakfast at school." And they have breakfast and they have lunches. And it's just amazing how wealthy America is. And the way they took care of people, took care of all of us whenever COVID happened in 2020. But anyway, I was saying about revival is when America or the nations are very, very prosperous, sometimes people get very careless when everything is good. I hate to say that, but, you know, most Christians, you've learned the more the Lord blesses you, you just bless him more. You bless him more. But there are some that get careless. And, you know, church is gone, and there's a lot of things they just don't do like they used to do it. That doesn't mean things don't change in our life. But every now and then, when a nation gets crazy, like ours is, and it brings in all kinds of evil, and then your leaders start calling evil good and good evil, and nobody even knows who to believe or what to believe anymore. They tell us one thing, and it's like this, and then it's like that, and churches don't even know what they believe anymore. And the poor school system, the educational system, it's going off the rails unless they have a leadership in there that wants to go another direction. So I don't have to elaborate on that. But I just want to tell you today that with everything going on, in fact, Pastor Wayne Neal, many of you remember him, he called me yesterday, and he's still the same brother, and he says, "So what do you think about all this going on with Ukraine and Russia, and I said, "Brother Wayne, look, here's what I think. I mean, for whatever it's worth. And I said to him this, you know, with all the wars and rumors of wars and everything happening, we cannot forget this. It's all about the coming of the Lord. It's all about that, church. It's all about the second coming. And when Jesus was teaching in three of the four Gospels, in Matthew 24 and Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21, now that's just the teachings of Jesus. He took major, major chapters of the Bible and talked about exactly the way it was going to be before he returns. And he is really going to return. And I'll give you some of that scripture a little later. But he elaborated and said, these things are inevitable. I'm not going to cause them to happen. God's not going to cause all these dilemmas to happen. But it's just the way it's going to be. There's going to be major earthquakes. There's going to be sightings in the heavens. And who knows what kind of cosmic thing's going to happen there. But he talked about that and the pestilence, which means pandemics and epidemics and famines and fires and floods and tsunamis, and he said all of this was going to happen. But I'll tell you this, a lot of those you say, well, that tsunami, you know, in Indonesia, that was the biggest thing that's ever happened. I guess if you would ask my Louisiana Rose this morning that was there, Katrina, she would say the most catastrophic event in my life was Katrina, because she left everything she had, lost it all. But thank God she came here because Verissa was here, but joined herself to us. So we can look back at some things that's happened in our lives and on earth. But the greatest event that's going to shake the earth to its very core will be the coming of the Lord. When millions are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And we were also told that people would mock that in the last day and say, I've heard that ever since I was a little child. My grandpa talked about that. My daddy talked about that. Oh, he warned us. He said, yeah, you'll hear all that stuff, but it's not going to change who I am. But I can tell you right now what we're seeing happen in these last day events. This is the earth yielding to the end times. It's just yielding. These things just have to happen. He said they were going to. You said, well, why would God just cause these things to happen? When we looked at, I'll never forget, 9/11. It's a pitiful, horrible thing that you and I saw with the people jumping from those skyscrapers and the horrible thing. And to think that these terrorists could actually get in a plane and just fly right into it. Suicidal tours, you know, that's what they were doing. And to think that anyone would be that so demon-possessed and have such a reprobate and debased mind that they could do something like that. And then there were a lot of people, all over America and even in the church that said, I don't understand. Why would God let that happen? Some even said, did God do that? Are you serious? God wouldn't do anything like that. He just said in the last days, there are going to be perilous times. And perilous means very dangerous times. I mean, times that are very confusing that we don't even understand. But in those three major chapters, there were some things that Jesus repeated over and over. And in the New Testament, not only Jesus' teaching, but Paul and Peter and Mark, Dr. Luke, that wrote the book of Luke, you would hear them say some of these things like this. They would address us who would be living in these times, and they would tell us, now you watch and pray. It was like the two of those went together like a hamburger and Coke. Watch and pray. Pay attention. Jesus one day was talking to the Pharisees and those that studied the word. They were just religious zealots is all they were. And Jesus said, here's what he called them. He said, you hypocrites. He said, you can look at the sky and see if it's going to rain today. Or you can look and say, oh, we're going to have a sunny day. But he said, you've got signs all around you that tell you time is getting short. And you totally ignore that to keep your religious ideology. All right. Let me just give you Hebrews 10:37. You can look above if you don't have your Bible. I put most of these on my iPad today because I wanted to save time because I do want to read a couple of portions of Scripture. In Hebrews 10:37, it says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he won't tarry. Now listen, there is a time for him to come. Now nobody knows when Jesus is going to come back. Jesus said this about that. He said, I don't know when I'm coming back. And the angels in heaven don't even know when I'm coming. Only my Father in heaven knows when I'm coming. And there have been Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and probably many in the Christian church that have prophesied and said Jesus is going to come before 2012 or in 1940, and every one of them became liars. Because nobody knows. All we can do is look at the signs. And Jesus said, if you know how to predict the weather, then you should know how to predict the signs. So I guess what I want to get across today is let's not forget now that everything that we are seeing happen on earth, it's predicting the coming of the Lord is upon us. Okay, so we know that. So Jesus said to watch and pray, pay attention, and then he said, wait. You'll see that many times in those Gospels. In case you want to read those chapters again, it was, I called Matthew 24, Luke 13, and Luke 20, excuse me, Mark 13 and Luke 21. And that was Jesus himself talking about his return to earth one day. So he told him to watch and pray. He said, now wait for me. Wait with anticipation, and don't you ever forget that I'm coming back. And then he talked to them about how to walk. Walk right, and walk as you're fulfilling your call and your purpose. So walk according to the scripture. And then he said, keep working. Keep working. I remember one time years ago, I hadn't been married very long, and my husband brought a message on that night, on a Wednesday night, teaching about the coming of the Lord. So this couple wanted to take us out for coffee afterwards, so we went with them. And I'll never forget this man, who was kind of lazy anyway, but he says to my husband, well, he said, if Jesus is coming back so soon, like you said, then why don't I just move up to Oregon and sit there and eat, strawberries and grapes? And Rick says, well, you can do that if you want to. But Jesus said to watch and wait. Wait on him. No, you work. And Jesus also mentioned, you go ahead and work. Go ahead and do your work. Do you know, listen to this. Now, I don't know. This probably came from a historian like Josephus or somebody, so I can't verify this. This isn't in the Word. But I had a civics teacher in high school, Porterville High, and he was teaching us. And so they taught us about legends and myths, and then he got to Christianity, which I was pretty shocked. But you know, he handled it very well. And he said to us that when Jesus went away, there were a group of people, he did tell us about the death, burial, and the resurrection. And he taught how there were over 400 people that saw him after he was raised from the dead. And he said, but when Jesus went away, he said, just did you see me leave? And Jesus left on a cloud to go back to his Father in heaven. That's where he went. We know where he went. But he said, I'm going to come back like this. I will come back on the clouds or with clouds. And I will pick you up. The word rapture is not there, but that means to be caught up together. We will be, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, we will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So the teacher said that when Jesus went away, remember in Acts chapter 2, it says there were a group of people that saw him leave. They watched him go. And so Jesus had told them to watch and pray. So the teacher said that nobody wanted to work. They just sat around and waited. And they waited. They thought he's going to be right back. Well, we're down the road here 2,000 years. And he still hasn't come back yet. And so in Matthew 24, he said, look, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, and kingdom will rise against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in diverse places. That means different places. There will be famines. There will be epidemics. Sword. It will be really bad in the last of the last hours. But he said this, but fear not. He said, this is not the time yet. This isn't time yet. Well, now we're 2,000 years down. So if they would have listened, they would have known he wasn't coming right back. He said, there's a lot of things that have to happen. There's a lot of people that's going to be born, and a lot of people's going to turn to me. So he said, watch and pray. Wait for me. Walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk. And then he said, wake up. Stay awake. Stay awake in the scriptures. Be awake to what's going on around you. So that's another reason that I'm bringing this morning. So he said, yet a little while, and he who is coming, he'll just go ahead and come. And he will not tarry. In the book of Habakkuk, God told the prophet, he said, now write this vision down and make it clear and plain that everybody that reads it can run with it. And then he said, though it tarry, wait for it. It will not lie. He will surely come. So we know that he is coming. Now, I am going to read to you Luke 21, starting at verse 25. I think this had so much in it in Luke's writing. So, Kathy, if you'll give us Luke 21, verses 25 through 28, and then I'll skip down to 34, 36. And there will be signs. Here's what Jesus said, pretty much in the three Gospels. So hear this. This is his own teaching. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations. That's what we're seeing right now. They're all wiped out of their mind in distress. With perplexity, that means confusion, all mixed up. And the sea and the waves roaring. Here's our present day right here, and you know it's true. We watched it for the last 2 years with COVID. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Look at that next word. What does it say? Then, does it say then? After all those things, it says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when all these things begin to happen, you look up and lift up your head because your redemption is drawing near. That's our salvation. Eternity is drawing near. But then Jesus goes a bit further and says this, but take heed to yourself. Pay attention to you. Don't look at everybody else. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life. Not necessarily sinful things. Jesus just said, I know how my people are. You're just going to get caught up with the cares of this life. Just stuff going on. So don't be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life. And let that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Look now, there's that word. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So when you give your heart to Jesus and he comes in and he sends his Holy Spirit upon us, then he says, you'll be able to escape these things. Oh, you will see them all around you, but you will be in peace in your heart and mind and your body. Now, I want you to go over to Romans, because here's what I'm calling my message. It's high time. High time. We gotta sleep. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, look at verse 11 through 14. Many of you may have this memorized. If you can pull out a little verse or a chapter or something and memorize it on the coming of the Lord, it would probably serve you very well to do that in this age that we live in. And I hope you wrote those scriptures down again, what Jesus said, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. All right, you got Romans 13. Look at this. Now, Paul is talking here, not Jesus, but the Apostle Paul said, and do this, knowing that the time, and now it is the, look at that, high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Look. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry. That actually means sexual orgies. And drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the lust. For the flesh to fulfill its lust. I mean, this stuff is just so powerful. And the very first thing he says there, Paul said, look, it's time to wake out of sleep. And if he said that 2,000 years ago, but I got to tell you, the Ephesus church and the Corinthian church, I mean, they were probably as bad off as this earth is now. I mean, it was vulgarity. It was lethargic. They were dying because their sins had so taken them over. And yet Paul says it's time to wake out of sleep. And in Revelation chapter 2, he wrote, John, or the angel gave him letters to the seven churches. And one of the churches in the last day would be the Laodicean church. And that was a sleepy church, a lazy church, one filled with apathy, and they were very lethargic. Wasn't much going on. But it seems today that last day church has fallen asleep. Apathy means a lack of interest, enthusiasm, and concern. Who cares? Me and my four no more. We're good. So, you know, I don't hurt anybody. I'm not hurting anybody. This is just my deal. But Paul said, and I'm saying it to you today, look at verse 12. This is amazing. The night is far spent. He says all of this darkness that's on the earth right now, it's pretty far spent. I mean, it's way down the road. For 2,000 years and 7,000 years from Adam, and now 2,000 years from Jesus, it's just gotten darker and darker and darker and darker and darker. And Paul is saying, man, this night is far spent way back then. So how much darker do you think it is now where we are? So I'm just telling you now, that night is far spent, church. We're seeing these signs all around us. There's not another generation that has seen everything come to pass that you and I have seen. One of the greatest signs was Israel becoming a nation in 1948. We saw that. And when that happened, Jesus said, this generation won't pass that sees all these things and sees Israel become the nation. And then you see all these things Jesus mentioned. He said, that generation won't pass before they see my coming. So I'm telling you, folks, we could be the very generation that sees him return. Hallelujah. Now, I said, our salvation is nearer today than it was when we first believed. Our salvation, what's that? That's him. That's eternity. So, see, we are going to see Jesus. You are going to meet up with your Creator. He's either going to be your Savior or your Judge. And we're all going to meet him. Either by way of him coming and taking us back to where he is for 7 years, or by death. Many of our loved ones passed. I mean, by this year, we're like, how did that happen to our precious loved ones? But no one is exempt. You know, I say when I'm doing funerals that the stats are very high that all of us are going to go to the grave. It's one out of one is going to die unless Jesus comes back. One out of one. So the statistics are way out there. But time is running out, church. He said it's nearer than you think. So the night is far spent. That just means time is running out. It's way out there. And that means moral darkness. Just darker and darker. Look what else he is saying there. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What day? The day of Jesus. The day of light. The day of salvation. See, we still right now, we're not in the tribulation period. We still have time to receive Jesus as Lord and let him change our lives and bless us and keep us in peace and clothe us in his spirit. We still have all that available to us because he said, now the day is at hand. The night's spent, but the day almost here. We have so much, hallelujah, available to us. Then what do we do? He said, so the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Take off anything that brings darkness into your mind or into your spirit. Darkness is one of the most horrible things that can ever come and knock on your door. I remember when I was a young girl and battled that depression and fear. That was darkness. And it was the most horrible thing. I felt like that I was alone in my mind. And you know what? I was. though my mom and dad would pray for me, but I just felt like I was so isolated and alone, and I didn't know how to get out, and if I did get out, how would I get out, and when would I get out? I've testified to you before how it was a Wednesday night. I was sitting back with my friends, and the pastor said, there's somebody here that's got the darkness of depression on you, and you're fearful. And I'm telling you, I got to where I could hardly operate. Just wouldn't hardly eat anything. I was just skin and bones and just scared to nearly go out of the house. And you know what? That Wednesday night, my pastor said that. And I had enough expectancy in me in believing the word and having confidence in my pastor that he had heard from God. And I got up in front of my friends. I don't know if I heard anything else he said because we usually wrote notes, as much as I love the Lord. But I heard him say that. I got up and went up there. And he gave me 1 Timothy 1:7. Said, "Did you ever see this?" And I was faithful to church. I sung the songs. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind." Just that verse was so powerful. Folks, if we ever get it into our heart how powerful the Word of God is, and it doesn't take a whole bunch, I mean, just one little scripture can make you free that way. And my pastor told me, he said, "You know what, you're going to be free here." Within about 2 weeks, he said, "You're not even going to be the same person." And it was about 2 weeks after that, I remember my family was watching a little sitcom, who knows, maybe Andy Griffith or Beaver or somebody. They were innocent in those days, or Danny Thomas. They were watching that, and I remember I could look at that when I was in that, that darkness. I mean, it just goes all around you and just almost envelops you, paralyzes you. It almost paralyzed me. And I remember watching the TV with them, but I didn't hear what it was saying. People would tell me funny things. I didn't laugh because I tried to, but I couldn't. I couldn't hear what they were saying. And that night, it was about 2 weeks had gone by, and I felt better already. I felt the peace of God. And 2 weeks went by, and I really laughed, Pastor. I laughed at something that went on that TV sitcom. I saw it, and I heard it, and I laughed. And the next day at school, I went to school all day, and it was amazing that I had a good day and my friends said things and we were happy and it all returned for that one verse and just me having faith in that house that what God had spoken, he would do that for me too. And so you don't have to stay the way you are because, see, I didn't know it. Listen, I love this. I didn't even know this just comes to me. That night was far spent, Dee. It had been going on for about 3 years. But that night was far spent. It was ready to leave me. And I didn't even know it. And by the end of that month, I was going to be a new person. Just like my pastor said I was. And I was. And I learned how to hold my mind. And I learned how to gird up the loins of my mind with the word of God. And after that, I've got a strong mind and went through death with my husband and baby and those things. But I'm just telling you, I believe that once you're in darkness and you can get out, I don't know that it can ever come back on you. I just don't think it can. Because you know that the devil plays for keeps. Like little boys used to play marbles. He plays for keeps. And if you ever start visiting with him and entertaining him when he gives you a scary thought, he puts scary things into you, but if you ever start entertaining that, I'm just saying, don't do that. So the day was at hand. The night was far spent. The day was at hand. The day and the light came into me. And I pray that every one of you here today will take on the light of God the way he lit me up. I mean, he just lit me up. Hallelujah. Verse 12, let me read again. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. I didn't know how to cast it off, so I went to him and he cast it off for me. He'll do it for you. And let us put on the armor of light. I didn't know how to do that either. But he put it on me. And then let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, not in strife and not in envy. Now, I'll say this. Okay, if the devil can't get you one way, he'll come another way. So here I am, a young girl, probably at this time. Time had gone by, I don't know, 16 or 17. And these young men at school knew that I played the guitar and I could sing. And so they asked me, would I join their rock group? And I said, yeah. I went home and asked Mom and Daddy, and they said, yeah. Daddy loved music. He sang country music, and they went to church. But, you know, not all that, just Sunday morning. That's when you had three or four services a week. So, but I always loved the Lord, and I always loved his people, and I was like a fish out of water. So I joined their little group, and they go, hey, we're going to buy you a pantsuit. I said, okay. Well, I think they actually bought it, and Debbie, you should have seen it. It was orange with yellow flowers in the 60s, in the days of the flower children. And it was orange, and it had those bright yellow and orange flowers, and the bell bottoms were this big. I mean, you remember those, Lynn? Those bell bottoms. So I got my guitar, electric guitar on, and began to play with them. Like, wow. You're good. I never heard a girl play. And my daddy taught me to play since I was a baby. All of us did. So anyway, he said we practiced not every day after school, but maybe two or three days after school we practiced. After I was healed. After I got out of that darkness and in the marvelous light. And so they said, hey, we got a gig. I said, oh, you do? What's a gig? And they go, we're going to play at the sock hop. I hate to tell you how old I am. We're going to ask your mama what it is. She'll tell you. We're going to play at the sock hop at the roller rink. I said, we are going to? Yeah. And you're going to sing. I can't even remember that little song they had me singing. But anyway, we sung. I guess it was all right. They wanted us to come back. So we did that. And then they said, tomorrow we're going to play for Beckman's. Beckman's having a big picnic. Like, you've got to be kidding. No, they've asked us. We're going to play. Of course, his dad was one of the managers out there. That's how he got invited. So they go, yeah, we're going to go play. Let's see, what did that say? Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness. So at the sock hop that night, when it was over, this one kid was just acting crazy in the band. I think he was a drummer. And he was acting all wild, and he crawled under the seats, and he was jumping up on the seat and just acting all wild. And I said, what is wrong with him? They said, he's drunk. Well, I'd never seen a drunk person, never knew about a drunk person, didn't know how they acted when they were gone. And they said, he's whatever he was, gone or something. And I thought, oh, God. I can't be with him. But the next day, we got this big gig going on, Beckman's. So, man, all night long, I thought, oh, God, how am I going to do that? I got to go to church in the morning and teach Sunday school to those boys. And then I got to go to Beckman's party and play rock and roll. And if you knew me then, you'd know that just didn't quite fit. I can't even believe I did that. And furthermore, I can't even believe my mom and daddy let me join that band. They let me do that. And here I'm a fresh 16, 17-year-old girl. And I could have gotten out there and never gotten back. Do you know that? I could have never gotten back. You got to watch what your kids are doing and who they're with and what's going on. So anyway, I called him after church that morning. Conviction came in the house. Pastor probably just preached all over that, you know. You know how they are. And so after church, I called the main man. He's probably 17. And I said, look, Bob, I'm not going to be able to do that gig today. What? How come? I go, I just can't do it. I'm done. No, you can't. You cannot bail out on it. Look, we were going to pay you today. Well, you didn't pay me last night. Yeah, but we're going to today because this is a big deal. I mean, it's really a big deal. Daddy's going to make sure we get paid. And I said, look, I'm not doing it. I can't. I'm done. You know, no, God won't even let me do it. Oh, God don't care. And I said, yes, he does for me. Anyway, long story short, I wish I hadn't even told you that. I'm going to go home in my car and say, God, why did I tell him? Because he's going to hold it against me. So, anyway, praise God. I said no. And there's something, see, I learned to say no when I was young. And then as you get older, you can walk with the Lord. As Jesus said, walk with me now and wait. And so he said, cast off the works of darkness and lewdness and lust and strife and envy. But, verse 14, put verse 14 up, Sister Kathy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the lust, for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That means don't supply your flesh with a way to lust after things. Don't supply the need of your flesh. Your flesh will want to do this, 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 and this. And your spirit says no, no. And it's not going to thump you on the head. Your spirit is sweet. But your flesh will just keep on and on and on and drive you crazy until you do it. But your spirit will lead us. He leads us. He never pushes us. And I want to close with this. I want you to show them, please, Colossians 3:4-10. You say, how do we do that? And what is the works of darkness? He said, cast off the works of darkness and make no provision for your flesh. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So when we're there, we'll be caught up with him in glory. Therefore, look, put to death your members which are on the earth. That means your every part of your body, body, soul, and spirit. Look, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. It's not a good time to disobey God. In which you yourselves, you once, let me read that again. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. He said, you all did all that stuff. You walked in places you shouldn't have walked. You did things you shouldn't have done. But now, look at that word, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Look at that one. Do not lie to each other. And since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is Jesus, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So to put on the new man is to put on Jesus. That's the armor of light. The armor is our breastplate of righteousness that he's given us. So I pray, church, I pray for America. This is a strategic hour in human history that we have never seen. Stand with me, would you, this morning? But it is high time to awake and pay attention to what's going on around us. But I pray for America like Jonah prayed for Nineveh. Remember how wicked Nineveh was? I mean, they were going to hell in a handbasket. It was so bad, so wicked. God called Jonah and said, Jonah, go down there and tell them, if they don't straighten up, I'm going to burn their whole city down. I'll just burn the whole thing down. And Jonah didn't have the nerve to do it. He just got on a boat and went down to Tarshish. And when he gets down there, that's when the whale swallowed him and then spit him out. And then when the whale spit you out, you're about ready to do what God wants you to do. So then he said, yeah, God, what was that you wanted now? He said, I want you to go down to Nineveh and tell them that if they'll repent, I won't burn their city down. I won't judge them. I will bless them. And I'll make them a brand new city. And you know what? Listen to this. God gave them 150 years of pleasure and peace. I mean, it was an amazing new city. Pray with me for America. I believe that the Bible tells us if we repent, everything in our lives change. When we put Jesus on and cast darkness off, Father, help us. Just like me, Lord, I don't know who's here today, and maybe their mind is smitten with darkness, and they're in a tight place just like I was. Depression is so bothering them. Look, I don't want to embarrass you. My pastor didn't want to embarrass me, but you know what? I didn't care. I had to go home with me and go through those scary nights. And I didn't care to be embarrassed if I knew God would deliver me. And I'm going to ask you, if you're fighting paralysis, darkness, depression or fear, anxiety, where it's just hard for you, I wish you just, would you come and let me just pray for you right now? And I believe God will do for you what he did for me. I haven't told that story in years. But usually when that happens, it's because God wants to deliver somebody. That's okay, I'll wait for you. But I've often thought, what if I hadn't gone that night? What if I hadn't gone because I was afraid my friends would see me? Because I sung songs in the church. I wondered where I'd be. I wondered if I had not made the decision to say, no, I'm not going with you boys. I'm not going to be a rock and roller. I wonder where I'd be. But he changed my life. And the night was far spent. And you know what? I want to tell you this morning, I believe your night is just far spent. It's just about gone. And the light of Jesus is here to armor you up. And that shield of faith, see, he's given us a shield of faith, and it covers our whole body, soul, and spirit. And that breastplate of righteousness he gave us, it just fits your heart. And that helmet of salvation, it's yours, and your mind girded with the word of truth. And then you know what else he has? Maybe you've never heard this before, but he has a pair of boots or shoes. And he said, I'll put those shoes on you. And that's the gospel of peace. And you wear those shoes, and it causes you to walk in peace. No one else like him, church. No one. No one can do for you what Jesus can do. Counselors will charge $100 or more an hour. And I don't have anything against them. Sometimes you can't get at the altar. You need to get it there. Let somebody help you. But somebody can help you. But Jesus does the best job. Anyone want to come this morning? Come on, it's not worth going home that way. It's just not. Honey, thank you for being honest. I know there's some more that want to come, but sometimes we just have a hard time with this flesh. It just fights you and says, don't do it. Don't do it. They'll all know about your issues. Who cares? Everybody's got an issue. Do you know everyone in this church, including myself, we've all got issues. But he helps us with every one of them. If Jesus doesn't live in your heart and you've got darkness, you need to come. I'm going to pray for these, and then we'll go our way.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes Hallelujah. Of my heart.
Hallelujah. Father, that is our prayer today. Please open the eyes of every one of our hearts so we can see you spiritually. You said that your spirit would come and teach us what's in the depths of your heart. So may our spirit eyes be opened so that we can see what the Holy Spirit is doing. And open the ears of our spirit that we can hear what you say to us. You speak to us daily, all the time. You direct us and you help us. Forgive us for ignoring you. But I pray that you'll open our eyes and our hearts, the eyes of our heart, the ears of our heart, to see and hear you. We give you our lives, body, soul, and spirit. Awaken us, Lord. Awaken us out of sleep. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. All right. Well, the Lord bless you all and keep you and cause his face to shine on you, be gracious to you, turn his countenance toward you, and give you peace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.